Yo, Lindsay. Got it? You alright? I think so. That's not even nothing. Wait. Is that it? Yeah. Okay. I have a project to support the raccoons, and that'll be $2 per microphone. No, okay. Not really. I thought you'd like to see, this is my llama, and I'm going to put him over there. You can see him during the break. And that was his last birthday, July 1st. He's the former abbot of Serame, greatest monastery in the world. Was the highest Lhasa Geshe in his year, 1954, in Lhasa, out of like 10,000 monks, and then became the assistant abbot of the Tantric College in Lhasa before, in 1958. Then he said he was this big shot, he's about to become next in line to Ganden Thiep, which is Jetsun Kapa's throne, and a bomb came down in his bathroom, and he ran away with his towel all the way out of Lhasa, and then realized that's all he had with him. So, anyway, very great Lama, taught us for 25 years for free every day, all day, and very kind. This is Pearl, which was Kinzo's last daughter. And that, you know, the other nun. So maybe you can put it there. 1, 2, pass it back. Okay, we'll start. I'd like to go through the preliminaries again. So, we'll meditate. I'll say next. We'll see if we hit the same one. Okay. I'll give you the first one, which is the 7-point posture. Okay. Then you go to the 8th point of that posture. Okay. Next. And that's taking refuge. And think about the Dharma jewel, which is the direct perception of emptiness. Next. Which is bodhicitta, and think about the specific suffering that people have, that they can't be satisfied or contented with whatever they get. They always want more. Keep your head up and keep your mouth loose, okay? Next. Which is to bring a holy being in front of you. Next. Which is to think of one or two of their very great qualities and bow down before them in your mind. And try to, the small of your back, try to push it towards your belly button a little bit, okay? Not so much that it hurts. Next. Then make them the sweetest offering you can imagine, most beautiful offering you can imagine to them. Try to move your elbows a little bit out away from your body and straighten you up. Lean forward very slightly. Next. Is purification. Think of some very, very specific negative thought you had or negative thing you said. People ask me if negative thoughts are bad karma. They are the essence of bad karma. They are the source of all karma. So even if you don't say anything or do anything, just the thought is pure active karma. And try to play it back, something specific and something minor. But try to play back the words that you thought, and you'll see how silly they are. Next. Which is to think about something good you did, rejoicing, being happy about something good you're doing. Make it specific, like just a small thing, like you made tea for somebody, or you let somebody else walk out of the room before you, or something like that. Next. Just to ask for teachings, and in particular from the people around you during the day. I think the very best teacher I had in the last 10 years was a supervisor I had who tortured me. Think about people like that and ask that you learn from them. Next. Which is to pray that good teachers and good Dharma friends, people who support you and help you, the people that you help them also, that they'll stay in your life close to you. Okay, at this point, the preliminaries are done, and if you have to scratch something or move an arm, don't make a big deal here. You know, don't, if you don't have a big problem, don't move, okay? Go back to your breath. Keep watching your breath. Make sure your mind is glued to the inside of your nose. You can guess which of the 9 levels you're on by how long it stays there and goes away and then comes back. Only the touch of the air on the inside of your nose. That's all you have to watch. Nothing else you have to worry about today. Now when you get to the end of a breath and you think you're ready to breathe in, try to breathe out a little more so that if you imagined your breath as a stream of cigarette smoke coming out of your mouth and moving straight away from your face, going directly away from your face, that you're pushing the smoke a little bit further out, like it would reach another 2 or 3 or 4 inches away from your face. So imagine your breath like cigarette smoke, and when you breathe out, when it feels like you're at the end of a breath, try to breathe out a little bit more and see the breath as leaving, going a little bit farther away from your face, straight out perpendicular to your face. It's almost like your arm and you're trying to touch something that's a little bit further away. Now, as you breathe, try to be aware of your heartbeat. Try to connect with your heartbeat. As you breathe in and out, try to feel your heart beating in your chest. Now try to compare the number of heartbeats on the out-breath to the number of heartbeats on the in-breath and see if they take about the same number of heartbeats. Some people feel like a half a heartbeat, and you can count it on that, or you can count it as a whole heartbeat, whatever is more comfortable for you. But try to compare the number of heartbeats on an out-breath to the number of heartbeats on an in-breath. Don't try to force your breath. Just watch it. You're just watching it. You're not trying to manipulate it. You're not trying to force anything. Just your natural breathing. If you're a person who gets lung, which means if you meditate a lot, you get anxiety or a strange feeling in your chest, or a little bit nervous, your hands shaking, or trouble sleeping, or a little bit irritable, it's because of a collection of wind in your body, inner wind, which is not the same as your breath. So your breath is not your inner wind. Inner wind is something more subtle that's running in different places of your body. It's not running in your lungs and your breath, but they are deeply connected. When you get nervous, for example, or when you get scared, it affects your inner winds, and then the inner winds affect your breathing, and you start to breathe faster and your heart beats faster. And the idea of meditation, you can reverse the process. You can work on your breath, work on your heartbeat. That will affect your inner winds, and then that will affect your mind. And that's why the mind becomes more calm when you do a good breathing practice. So if you have a problem with wind, you might try to see if the breath is coming in faster than going out, and not enough breath is going out. So if you're a person who has problem with a wind problem, it might be that the wind is collecting in your body because of the effect of the breath coming in a lot and quickly, and then when you breathe out, it's not enough. You're only breathing out about half the air in your lungs and half is still left. So if you have a problem like that, you might try breathing out farther. And a good way to do that is to visualize like cigarette smoke coming out of your nose and then extending away from your face and get it to go farther and farther away. And then when you breathe in more slowly so that you don't breathe in more or faster than you breathe out. And a way to check it is to watch your heartbeat. How many heartbeats on the in-breath, how many heartbeats on the out-breath. And try to get to a point where they're equal. Now go back and visualize the holy being sitting in front of you. Ask them to come up to the top of your head. And feel them sitting there and feel the warmth from their body. You have a chakra at the top of your head, and visualizing the warmth, imagining the warmth is very good for that. Then prepare a place in your heart for them. And in your heart doesn't mean in your chest, at the front of your chest. It means at the level of your heart, back towards your backbone. Maybe half an inch in front of your backbone. Visualize it like a pea, like a small pea. And then inside that pea is a whole beautiful chamber, boudoir for them to be in. And nice flower, huge flower bed made of a beautiful flower, like I think a rose is easier to meditate for me. And then in the center of that, a beautiful cushion made of light, like golden light. And that golden light diffused throughout the chamber. And then invite them into that room, and they come down straight. For this, your back has to be straight, your neck has to be straight. And imagine them coming down like an elevator shaft, very slowly, and like warm honey, golden warm honey. And imagine the warmth as it comes down very slowly. And finally, place them on the flower. then feel the light from that room, the gold light, and the gold light from their body is coming down, spreading throughout your body like rays of light coming throughout your body, slowly seeping throughout your body like honey, like warm honey. And then see it hit the skin and it comes out the pores of your body. It's beautiful light. And it's touching people that you know and making them very, very contented, very happy. Today, Sunday, very, very contented with their life, peaceful, happy. Freed from the curse of not being satisfied with things. Okay, then relax and stretch, okay? When we take a break, which will be shortly, okay, I'd like you to pick up one of those books, okay? It's called Preparing for Tantra. It's a translation of Pabongkor Rinpoche's introduction to this book that he gave just before a tantric initiation in Lhasa in, I forget when, it was 1920-something, I think. And again, they're free. If you'd like to throw $10 like yesterday into a bag, which Fran Perella will have, we're going to donate that to Trijang Rinpoche, who's His Holiness's tutor, and my root lama's root lama, and to print a very, very rare Lamrim text from the Kadampa times, okay? Probably the greatest Kadampa book ever written. And recently we found it. Okay, so, because you're going to need it for the second half, okay? If you don't have any mula free, feel free to take one and don't worry about it at all. Just take one, okay? All right. She asked me if that text is going to be printed in Tibetan or English. Tibetan first. It's 1,000 pages long. And I dearly hope that one of my dear students will translate it. Okay? You know? Okay? It's a very, very important book. Really important book. Okay? The English letters here are SH hyphen NE HLAK TONG SUNG DU DREL WAY LAM Se Shine Saktong Sungdu Dewe Lam. Okay. This comes much later in the text, okay? But this is where we're going to take off from here. You know what Shine means? It means some big property and big sore. No. No. Shamatha, okay. They misspell it in English, okay? They put a T-H-A. It doesn't need a T-H-A. It's aspirated. We aspirate all our T's. You don't need to put Shamatha. Okay? It's a mistake. All right? The Sanskrit has a aspirated, which in English is a plain old T. All right? Haktong means Vipassana. V-I-P-A. S-H-Y-A-N-A. Vipassana means special insight. Hak means special, tong means insight into the nature of reality, into emptiness, okay? The Pali is vipassana. And for some reason, I don't know why, it's gotten connected with meditation, okay? It has nothing to do with shamatha. It's not shamatha. It's the ability to analyze emptiness, to understand emptiness, okay? And then they have to come together, okay? Haktong is that, shamatha is that beautiful white elephant with a guy sitting on it, and he's like this because his mind is blissful, and he's flying next to the thing because his body is blissful, and that's shamatha. And then up above that, it said, go look for correct view, you know? That's vipassana, understanding reality, okay? And the point is that you want them to be Sundudewa, okay? Sundudewa. Sundudewa means married to each other, okay? Sundudewa means when two things are totally tied together and binded together, okay? For example, the tantric word for enlightenment is union, meaning Sungjuk, Sundujukpa, same word Sung, meaning the combination of two things, okay? The combination of two things. They don't call it Buddhahood in Tantra, they call it Sungdujupa, which means the joining or the marriage of two things, which is Wuzhel and Gyulu, clear light and magic miracle body, okay? And what all those mean, you have to learn from somebody else, okay? Dewey Lam means, Lam means that path, okay? That path where shamatha, meaning perfect meditation, and vipassana, meaning understanding of emptiness, are married together, okay? That path where these two are married together. From the perfect platform of concentration, you are investigating ultimate reality. And that's Sundudewa Lam means those two emotions are tied together. Then the text says, Nyudugyulakyewa Jingilop means, may I get them quickly in my mind, okay? May I quickly have this path occur in my mind, okay? The point of doing a class about meditation is to learn to meditate on something important. The most important thing to do with your meditation is see emptiness directly. The way to get to see emptiness directly is to practice the Lam Rim properly. So it'd be a really good trick if we could have a text where we could go through the Lam Rim step by step, rim by rim, and use emptiness with it, you know, on every step to connect each step with emptiness. So that would like to be the ultimate meditation, okay? To go through the Lam Rim every day, in your mind, to go through each of the necessary steps to get to Buddhahood, and at each step stop and investigate its emptiness, okay? So I'm going to teach you how to do that in the next class and a half, and then it's not very hard. And then I'll show you with a few of the steps, then you'll have the book and you can apply it to the other steps. You'll learn how to apply it to the other steps, okay? Again, Lamgi Rimba means necessary steps that you must take to see emptiness directly and achieve nirvana and enlightenment as a result of that, okay? So this is Lamgi Rimba. The Lam Rims, okay? Each one is called a Lam Rim. Maybe some people don't realize that. Each of those steps is itself called a Lam Rim. Okay, so those Lam Rims, they're very similar to a car engine. Very, very similar. Like, when I first went to serve my Lama, we were both completely broke. And we had this old car that Art Engel gave us that was 200,000 miles on it, this Volkswagen. and it would break down all the time. So I bought this book called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Fixing a Volkswagen. I'd never touched a car in my life. And I would take it apart and put it back together, and it would work, you know. And one day I was taking it apart and I put it back together, and then there were like 5 bolts left there, you know. And I was like, you know, and then you realize that as long as there's 1 or 2 bolts left out, it's either not going to work or it's going to be dangerous. Something's going to fall off. And you know, if you took all the parts to a car engine, there are certain absolutely necessary parts. Like, one day I put it back without one of the spark plugs in. And it actually still runs, but it's like, you know, and like that. So, Lamgi Rimbas, Lam Rims are exactly the same, okay? Don't think that it's not possible that in the spiritual realm, things work the same as in the physical realm. Meaning, don't think that you can leave out some of the Lam Rims and that engine's going to work to get you to enlightenment. It's very, very much the same. If you skip a few of the Lam Rims, you never meditate on the Lam Rims, you never master all the Lam Rims, you leave out 2 or 3 of them because you don't have time or something, it actually doesn't work. Okay, the engine won't work, you know. And the ironic thing is that after I put the car back together, everything looked fine. You know, it looked like a complete engine. And it was only the evidence of the 5 bolts on the ground. I can see them in my mind now. They were in the hubcap. You always keep them in the hubcap, you know. And I can see them there. And it was only the 5 bolts laying there that, if I looked at the engine, it looked like it was okay. But you know it's not okay. Okay. So what I mean to say is that there can be spiritual paths. There can be attempted paths that have left out some of the Lam Rims. And they can look good from the outside. You know, they look pretty good. You say, you know, this path is okay. It's real similar to the Lam Rim, you know. It's a lot like the Lam Rim. And that's not good enough, you know. It won't run. Okay, and I don't say you have to believe me now, and I don't say you're going to run out and study Lam Rim, but I assert that it's possible that spiritual paths are just like car engines. And if certain essential components, like renunciation, or like the view of shunyata, the view of emptiness, are missing, then that path cannot take you to your ultimate goals. And there are paths in this world, in our culture, in our civilization. The karma stuff seems great. The compassion stuff seems good. The service of others seems to be complete. Renunciation seems to be there. Donglen, giving up your whole body for the sins of others, seems to be correct. But the correct viewed thing is just missing, you know. The thing about emptiness is just not there. And then you can say that's a nice path, that's an interesting path, that seems to be a helpful path. It leads people on further. But if that one component is missing, it won't work any more than an engine with pistons missing. You know what I mean? I assert that that could be the case. I actually believe it to be check it out. Okay, you know what I mean? Just, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, consider the possibility that this is true. That you must have all these Lam Rims, at least the major ones, have to be there, or you cannot reach that goal. Buddhism says if you do not see emptiness directly,